Well, hey friends, welcome and thanks for spending some time on this Palm Sunday with us. My name is Clay Munkus and I'm the lead pastor here at Next Level. And before we get going on part six, the final part of our series, Joyful, I want to talk about something huge that's coming up. And if you don't know what it is Easter, right? Easter, next week, April 17th, it is Easter Sunday. And if you are new to the Christian faith, you need to know that this is the biggest celebration of the year for Christians. It's bigger than Christmas and everything else. This is the day that we celebrate the event that gives credibility to our faith. And next week, I'm going to share, I don't know that I've shared this story before, I'm going to share the story how 14 years ago, after nearly 20 years as a Christian and 10 years in full-time ministry, I deconstructed my faith. And some of you may be going through that right now, questioning all these different things. And I'm going to share my story of deconstruction, but more importantly, I'm going to share why and what I rebuilt my foundation of faith back on. So I would love for you to be here. So if you're in Charlotte, I would love for you to come and celebrate in person with Easter for Easter here. And I believe that you'll get something great out of this, especially face-to-face as we gather together as believers. I think it's worth the effort. Well, commercial over, and thanks again for joining us today. Today, we're going to wrap up, as I said, we're going to wrap up our study on the book of Philippians. And this last section that we're going to look at today deals with a subject that we all need to get a handle on in order to maintain lasting joy. And if you can master the topic that we're going to look at today, the potential for joy in your life is going to skyrocket. And at the same time, your level of disappointment is going to plummet. Or at the very least, your ability to handle disappointment will vastly improve. And disappointment in our culture is a giant subject. Everywhere you look, there's disappointment. In fact, John Cheever from the Leadership Journal said this about the culture that we live in. He says that the main emotion of the adult American who has had all the advantages of wealth, education, and culture is disappointment. Now, I know that we can all resonate with that quote. There are numerous times that I've had hopes and dreams about any number of things, some of which I've shared about before, like my hope of becoming a Navy fighter pilot, right? Or investing our entire savings account into an in-home grocery delivery service in the early 2000s. Trust me, it didn't work out. Both of those things did not end the way that I wanted, and they brought massive levels of disappointment into my life. But it's not just the big things in life that can bring disappointment and dissatisfaction. We live in a world that is so fixated on the pursuit of happiness and temporary pleasures, right? And it is infectious. We settle for what I have. I mean, why settle for what I have now when I can have more, right? My TV works fine, but it's only 55 inches, and there's an 80-inch 4K on sale at Best Buy. Like, I gotta have it, right? My car is 5 years old, and it works fine, but I just paid it off in the new model. Man, look at that. It is so cool. It's got a whole bunch of new features. Hey, let's trade in my car, and let's go get the new car, right? We do this all the time. Or maybe for you, it's about money or time or work, right? You know, if you just keep working all those extra overtime and banking that money, that you'll just, you know, if you just sacrifice a few more moments with your family, then you'll finally have it made. And then you can finally take your family on that vacation, the one that you've been dreaming about. Or you finally get to that promotion, or you get that raise that you've always wanted, and you can finally enjoy like a happy retirement, right? It's just always just out of reach. So you make a little bit more money. And you just get that thinking that, oh man, if I can just do this or just earn this, then I will truly be happy. And then I'll finally experience the fulfillment and the joy and the happiness I've been working so hard to get. And I think a lot of disappointment comes from this pursuit of happiness or fulfillment that many of us find ourselves in. Happiness seems to be the ultimate goal in life for just about anyone that you look at, right? Gurus have sprung up all over the place telling you how to enjoy the little things in your life. Think positive, pursue your passion, set goals to improve your happiness. We're all taught, at least as Americans, from an early age, that trying harder and working harder is how you ultimately reach a place of happiness in life. But the problem with this relentless pursuit of happiness is that ultimately there's always something more that we need in order to be happy. And if you found yourself kind of on that hamster wheel of pursuit of some just out of reach level of happiness, you're not alone. This is an issue that is as old as humans. And fortunately, Paul kind of wraps up his letter to Philippians and gives us some insight on how we can conquer it, how we can find lasting joy. And the insight that Paul gives is found in this one word here, contentment, right? One of the top reasons that we feel so disappointed or dissatisfied in life can be found in our low levels of contentment. Let me put it to you this way, for those of you that are a little bit visual. When we have low levels of contentment, right, and our contentment continues to go down, it leads to increasing levels of dissatisfaction. And as those levels of dissatisfaction goes up, our level of happiness goes down with it. And so if this is true, then the inverse, as Paul is going to point out in just a moment, is also true. As our contentment goes up, our level of dissatisfaction will go down. And as our levels of dissatisfaction go down, our levels of happiness go up and up. So as we're going to see in the text today, in order for us to have increasing joy in our life, we need to get to the root and deal with this contentment issue that is a heart issue. But before we get there, let's talk about the opposite of contentment, right? Let's talk about this word real quick, discontentment. How many of you have ever felt discontented? I'm sure everybody has, right? Some of you might even be saying, well, I feel discontentment on a regular basis. So let me ask you, where does discontentment come from? Have you ever thought about that? Where does discontentment come from? I mean, how do you even know that someone has more than you? How do you know that someone has newer or bigger or better than you? Well, it comes from this right here. Discontentment is fueled by comparison. Discontentment is fueled by comparison. And this discontentment being fueled by comparison, this is a dangerous thing. And never has it been easier than it is right now to compare our life to everyone else's. We look around and we see what our friends are driving. We see the house that they live in. We see the brand of clothes that they wear. We see the levels of food and dining that they go out on. The quality of the vacations that they get to have. It's easy to look at what everyone else is doing and then compare that to your life. So maybe a date night for you is rolling up to Applebee's in your 11-year-old minivan, wearing a 5-year-old shirt that you bought from Walmart to discuss your upcoming staycation. All of which you were absolutely fine with until you pull up Instagram and you saw that guy from college who just poses pictures of his family in the Maldives with everyone wearing matching outfits from Gucci, right? One moment you were content and the next you're not. So what changed how you felt? It was comparison. And now you're not content with what you have. So you start working more hours at work. Maybe you even add a side hustle that you're devoting even more time to so that you can earn more, so that you can buy more, so that you can keep up with someone who doesn't even know that you're trying to keep up with them. And we find ourselves killing ourselves financially, relationally, emotionally, and even spiritually. Again, just to compete with somebody that doesn't even know that we are competing with them. It's a dangerous, comparison is a dangerous trap. And before long, what you'll do is you'll find yourself at odds with people that seem to have everything that you want to have. After all, how can you like that person? Because they got your job. They're driving your car. They're living your dream. And you are just miserable. So, I want to give you a way out of this mess. And the solution is not found in pulling away from society and living in a commune, okay? Because even if you did pull away and you started living in a commune, you would find a way to compare what you have against everybody else in the commune. You'd be like, hey, I have the wooden bench to sleep on, but Tom over there, he's got a straw mattress, right? We would find a way to compare. So this problem of comparison, it's not going to go away. So how can we disrupt the pattern of comparison that leads to discontentment? How can we manage the tension between comparison and contentment? Because it's not going to go away. I wish I could tell you there was a way to eliminate the problem, but I can't. There will always be this tension, but you can have the strength to manage it. So with the time I got left, I want to look at what Paul has to say. And out of it, I want to give you some tools to better manage this tension and develop growing levels of contentment in your life. So let's jump right into the last section of Philippians chapter 4 and look at some of Paul's final words to this church, and let's see what he has to say about this idea of dissatisfaction and contentment. We'll jump down and we'll start with verse 10. So Paul says this, "How I praise the Lord that you were concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned about me, but you didn't have the chance to help me." Now, let me give a little bit of background here. When Paul initially began these missionary expeditions to start churches everywhere, like the one in Philippi, people enthusiastically supported him. They sent him money, they sent him supplies, they sent him whatever he needed. By this time in his life, he's in jail. And lots of that initial enthusiasm has died down and the resources have dried up. Some estimate that it's been as long as 10 years since the Philippian church had helped Paul in any kind of way. Now, despite all of these letdowns, not once does he lay a guilt trip on them. Not once does he moan about how they dropped the ball in the past. No, instead he thanks them. He says, "I'm so happy that you thought about me." He recognized that for all those years of silence to the Philippian church, they simply didn't have the opportunity to help him. They just weren't able. And in this, we see our first mental exercise. Whenever we find ourselves in a place where we feel left behind or left out or like we're forgotten, I want you to say this to yourself. That's just complaining. That's just complaining, and I'm not a complainer. And you know why I'm not a complainer? It's because complaining never leads to contentment. Complaining only leads to more and more complaining. So stop and ask yourself, do I want to spend the rest of my life complaining about all that never happened? Do I want to spend my life complaining about how I always get the short end of the stick, how life seems to always pass me by? No. Why? Because that will never lead to contentment. If anything, it will lead to a growing dissatisfaction with life and with the other people that are around me. Contentment only comes when you take stock of what you do have, the people and the things in your life, and you cherish them. You can only do that, though, when you're willing to think the best about the people and their motivations. If you're consistently focused on what you don't have and how people haven't lived up to your expectations, contentment and joy will be an impossibility for you because people are flawed. We'll all drop the ball. We will all actively hurt one another from time to time. So when you're on the receiving end of hurt, failure, disappointment, the question is, what are you going to do with it? Are you just going to sit and you're going to complain about it? There's plenty of people that do that. Or are you going to do something positive? Now, I certainly don't know all of you, but here's something that I do know about you. Your life is too valuable. Your life is too short and your time is too valuable for you to waste any of it complaining about what should have happened. So the moment that those feelings of, I've been left behind, or no one's thinking about me, or I don't deserve how I've been treated, or look at so-and-so over there, look at everything, how everything is working out for them, and it never works out for me. The moment any of those feelings begin to pop into your mind, I want you to say to yourself, that's just complaining, and I'm not a complainer. Now, fortunately, Paul doesn't leave it there. He actually goes on to give us an example to follow when it comes to living in contentment. Verse 11, he continues. He says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little." Now that little word secret is a really important word. I want you to think about that word secret. What does it mean to you when someone says secret? Sometimes it's used in a way to keep something hidden from everyone, right? So we might get some hurts in our life and we keep them secret because we don't want others to know about it. So that's one use of secret. But at other times, a secret is like a key that opens something valuable, something that everybody wants to have, but they don't have it. So think of this, like we have secret maps, right? Treasure maps, and they lead us to a treasure. Everybody wants the treasure, but obviously they don't have it. So the way to it is something special. It is a secret. And how many of you love a good secret, right? How many of you would like to know the secret, as Paul says, of really living? I know I would. And there's a lot of self-help writers and gurus out there that are trying to tell you how to live a successful life, but there's only one that has stood for thousands of years. And actually, this predates Paul for several centuries, as King Solomon wrote about this topic as well. So for thousands upon thousands of years, there has been this secret, this truth that is out there that for some reason, it seems to keep eluding us as humans. And this truth is very, very powerful. So it's so life-changing that at the same time, it's not so easy to find. Paul, this is why he calls it the secret to living. And for those of us who are exhausted from trying to live life by keeping up with the thousands of people that are around us and tired of playing the comparison game and willing to move on from disappointments in life, this is the secret that we've been waiting for. Next verse, verse 13. For I can do everything through Christ, who gives me strength. Now, you've probably heard that verse before. Maybe you are an athlete, and this verse was written on the locker room as some sort of inspiration to score a touchdown or hit a home run or get a goal or climb a mountain or run a marathon, win the game, you know, like, and then put a finger to the sky for Jesus. Hey, you know, I can do all things, right? Or maybe some well-meaning jock signed your yearbook with this, hey, Philippians 4:13 out beside as a little nod to Jesus who had given him some sort of athletic prowess. Or maybe this verse was quoted to you as you face some kind of impossible situation. And it was like a rally cry against some insurmountable odds. But you can't read this verse without the context of the verses that are leading up to it. Now, the everything here, it certainly does include our successes and our various positive things that happen in life. But the context of this verse, everything means life's hardest things, like humiliation, hunger, need, loss. This verse is not just about giving a hat tip to heaven when life's going well. It's mainly about where to go and to whom do we go when we feel most devastated, when we're most in pain, most at a loss, in our lowest of lows. This is the secret to which Paul says is the secret to living. And let me give it to you. Knowing God's presence is what will give you strength for contentment. Knowing God's presence, that He is with you. Knowing God's presence is the secret for contentment. It's not just in our greatest triumphs, but it's also in our deepest devastations. It's in knowing that God is with me, that He knows exactly how I feel. He knows everything that is happening and has happened to me. He knows my triumphs and He knows my hardships. And more than that, He knows precisely what I have been created for. And maybe more important, what I have not been created for. So when you begin to look around at how everyone else is doing, and the temptation hits you to complain about how your life is going or get upset over the things that you don't have or get jealous at all the things that everyone else seems to have, just stop. Just look for God's presence in your life. And then go back to what Paul said in verses 8 and 9 that Pastor Doug shared with us last week, where he says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and the God of peace will be with you. So think about your life. What is true and honorable and right about your life? Focus on that. Ask God to give you the strength to do that and to let everything else, the hardship, the hurt, the disappointment, the broken dreams, the losses, all of it, let it all be handed over to Jesus as He gives you the power to be content in every season, in every situation. And we do this because God is the one we need most and the one who provides for every one of our needs. So as we wrap up this series on the book of Philippians, Let me take you to a proverb written by the wisest man who's ever lived, and this is what he has to say about this idea of comparison and what it does to our joy and peace. Proverbs 14:30, he says this, "A heart at peace gives life to the body, but envy rots the bones." You cannot, no matter how successful or rich or popular you are, you cannot compare your way to peace and happiness. There is no joy to be found in comparison. God has given you a very specific race to run, and you need to get in your lane, and you need to focus it is what it is that is before you and stay in your lane. Here's the last thought. Look to other people for inspiration, not imitation. So when you see someone knocking it out of the park, celebrate their win. But don't let their run, don't try to run their race. Don't adopt their scorecard. Don't waste a second of your race complaining about your life, and don't waste a second of your race resenting them for their success. Just tell yourself, with Christ beside me, I can do everything He has designed me to do. Jordan Peterson, a great book if you've not read it, 12 Rules for Life. He says it this way, compare yourself to who you were yesterday, not to who someone else is today. That is great advice, because if you are staying in your lane, if your thoughts are fixed on what is true and honorable and right and pure, if you are not who you were yesterday, that is great. That means with God's strength, you are making progress. And you will never know the secret of living until you stop comparing and embrace the life that God has placed in front of you. Let me say that again in case you got distracted and you missed it. You will never know the secret of living until you stop comparing and embrace the life that God has placed in front of you. So when your emotions get the best of you and you begin to get frustrated with your life as compared to the lives of everyone that's around you, I want you to stop and I want you to say to yourself, I will not complain. And with God's strength, I will run my race in my lane. And if you do, you will know the secret of living and you will become the person God created you to be. Let's all pray together. Heavenly Father, I know that for most of us, this problem of comparing is a real struggle. We live in a time where it is so easy to see what everyone else is doing and what they have. And so, Father, it is easy for me, I have to admit, to get overtaken by the envy monster and start complaining about my life. But Jesus, I do not want to live my life as a complainer. So Holy Spirit, bring to my mind things that are true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable about the life that you have given me. Help me to stay focused on the race that you have placed in front of me and give me the strength to stay in my lane. Pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, friends, thanks for joining us today. If you think today's message might be valuable to someone, man, I would love it if you would share this video. Not only could it be helpful for them, and I truly hope it is, but by sharing this content as well as liking and subscribing to this channel, you help us as a church accomplish our mission to raise the reputation of Jesus. And along those lines, could I also ask you to head over to our website at nextlevelchurch.org and click on the give button that's there and choose one of those giving options there. We got a lot of great things that are going on here in 2022. God is really blessing us. We have other plans and we need your faithful support to implement those plans to raise the reputation of Jesus where we live, work, and play. Now, by way of benediction, let me read to you the words of Paul one last time in Romans chapter 15, verse 13, where he says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust Him. May you this week focus on the race that God has placed in front of you. May you compare yourself to who you were yesterday and not to who someone else is today. And as you do, may our Heavenly Father fill you completely with joy and peace. Hey guys, have a blessed week. Enjoy Palm Sunday. I hope we can see you in person if you're here in Charlotte for Easter next week. Just know, as you go through your week this week, we love you. We're praying for you. You can do this.